Krishna imparted knowledge directly in the heart of Brahma or to Arjuna. Similarly, Krishna, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, imparted knowledge directly, especially to certain confidential devotees like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But the most complete discussions with Lord Chaitanya, as recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srila Prabhupada's summary study, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, are Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. In various places, Lord Chaitanya explained that the Vedic literatures discuss three subjects only. Do you know what the three subjects are? Yes. No, actually, what he said is correct. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means knowledge of our relationship with the Lord, which necessarily means knowledge of who I am, knowledge of who the Lord is, knowledge of the Lord's energies, which lead to the conclusion of my relationship with the Lord. So when Sanatana Goswami first met Lord Chaitanya at Varanasi, he inquired of the Lord. And actually the Lord gave him the strength and the intelligence to inquire. So the Lord had the chance to reply and explain all of the three departments of knowledge to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami approached the Lord very humbly, taking some grass between his teeth and prostrating himself before the Lord. And he submitted to the Lord as follows, that in ordinary society, people consider me to be very learned. And I actually used to think of myself as being learned. But the fact is that I'm not at all learned. In fact, I'm very foolish because I do not know even who I am. So please tell me, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? What is the perfection of life? And what is the means to attain it? Then Lord Chaitanya answered the questions of Sanatana Goswami, which have filled several chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. About one and more than one full volume of Srila Prabhupada's translation. So I will just summarize Lord Chaitanya's instructions about Sambandha. Because by the time we surrender and take to devotional service, we are supposed to have Sambandha Gyan. And in considering Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami and others, I thought that the most appropriate instructions for us to discuss would relate to Abhideya, or the process of devotional service, because we're engaged in the process of devotional service. And we'll also discuss Prayojana, or love of Krishna, which is the ultimate goal, briefly. At the end of the class, we'll hand out the 1.5 chapters, namely chapter 22 and part of chapter 23 that we'll be discussing in detail. But just to give the summary of Sambandha Gyan, to set the background, we'll read from chapter 20. So text 108, Lord Chaitanya begins to answer the three or four questions asked by Sanatana Goswami. And this is in one line, Sambandha Gyan is summarized. Jivarat Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas. And besides the one line, there are a few more lines. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Beda Ved Prakash. Suryam Sakiran Yaiche Agni Jvalachaya. Svabhavika Krishnara Tina Prakara Shakti Haya. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna. Because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. One time when Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Calcutta, he commented, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I think that most of my disciples understand this much. And this is the basic understanding that we need to have. And we should learn the Bengali words if we don't already know. I'll write them on the board sometime. So that is the answer to the question, who am I? Then, text 117. Krishna Buli Se Jeev Anadi Bahir Mukha Ata Eva Maya Tari Daya Samsara Dukha. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. So this is the answer to the question, why am I suffering the threefold miseries of material existence? Why? Yes, because I've forgotten Krishna. Then 120. Sadhu Shastra Kripaya Yadi Krishnan Mukahaya Se Jiva Nistara Maya Tahare Chadaya. If the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of saintly persons who voluntarily preach scriptural injunctions and help him to become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya, who gives him up. So here is the answer to the question, how to become free from the threefold miseries of material existence, and that is to become Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious. And the medium by which we become Krishna conscious is the instruction of saintly persons who explain the scriptures. So what do the scriptures say? The way to become free from the clutches of Maya is to follow the instructions of the scriptures as explained by saintly persons. So what do the scriptures say? So here's the answer in text 124 and 125. Veda Shastra Kahe Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Krishna Prapya Sambandha Bhakti Praptyara Sadhana. The Vedic literatures give information about the living entity's eternal relationship with Krishna, which is called Sambandha. The living entity's understanding of this relationship and acting accordingly is called Abhideya. Returning home back to Godhead is the ultimate goal of life and is called Prayojana. Abhideya nama bhakti, prema prayojana, purushartha shiromani prema mahadana. Devotional service or sense activity for the satisfaction of the Lord is called abhideya, because it can develop one's original love of Godhead, which is the goal of life. So our goal of life, or prayojana, is Krishna prema, not Krishna. When we get Krishna prema, we automatically get Krishna, because Krishna comes under the control of the devotee who has Krishna prema. So prayojana is prema, the goal. Now, Lord Chaitanya next tells a story to illustrate the three subjects described in the Vedic literatures. He tells the story of one astrologer named Sarvagya. And the astrologer visits one poor man who is suffering in poverty. And he sees the poor man is suffering so much. He hardly has food to eat. He hardly has clothes to wear. He has no comforts to call a home at all. And he is suffering so much. So the astrologer approached him and told him that your father was a very rich man, but you are living so poorly. Your father has left some treasure for you, but he must have died without telling you, and therefore you are suffering. Then he said that the treasure is buried right in the compound of the house. All you have to do is dig and you will find it. But don't dig to the southern side, because on the southern side there are so many wasps and drones who will bite you and torment you. So don't dig there. And don't dig on the western side also, because there are yakshas there, like ghosts. And they will trouble you like anything if you try to dig on the western side. And don't try to dig on the northern side either, because on the northern side is a black snake. And if you try to dig there, he will bite you and poison you. You should dig on the eastern side, and very soon your hands will touch the treasure. So Lord Chaitanya told this story to illustrate Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. That by hearing the words of the astrologer, the poor man found out about his relationship with the desirable object or treasure. Then when he understood that he has some relationship with the treasure, the astrologer told him the process by which he could get the treasure. And in the end, he got the treasure. And he immediately became rich. And by becoming rich, he was able to enjoy all sorts of happiness. And by enjoying all sorts of happiness, automatically his miseries went away. The knowledge of his relationship with the treasure is Sambandha Gyan. The process by which one gets the treasure is Abhideya. And the treasure is Prayojana, or Krishna Prema. When one gets Krishna Prema, he enjoys spiritual pleasure. And enjoying the transcendental happiness of devotional service and pure love of Godhead, automatically all miseries go away. He is liberated without any separate effort. So the conclusion, as stated by Lord Chaitanya in text 143, Veda Shastra Kahe Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana Krishna Krishna Bhakti Prema Tina Mahadana. In Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana correspond to Krishna, or our relationship with Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Prema. So, Lord Chaitanya is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many reasons. He is accepted so in the scriptures with various references. His characteristics and his activities correspond to those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead only. And especially important for us is that he has given us the essence of the Vedic literatures, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And he has taught us how we can reestablish our relationship with Krishna and act in our relationship and ultimately reach our goal, especially in the modern age of Kali Yuga. So although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has spoken in other ages, even as recently as 5,000 years ago, Krishna to Arjuna, but the instructions of Lord Chaitanya are especially important for us, because Lord Chaitanya appeared only 500 years ago, right in Kali Yuga, and he taught us how we can execute devotional service and attain pure love of Krishna in Kali Yuga. Now the three divisions of knowledge actually are all bhakti. So the real subject of the class will be bhakti. And in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami, one verse that Rupa Goswami included in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we should learn this verse, because this verse defines bhakti. And the whole subject of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, which we will discuss, is bhakti. So we should be able to see everything that we discuss in relation to the one verse. And by understanding the one verse, we'll be more easily able to understand the other subjects. So we'll pass out the books. There are more students than books right now. So maybe some of you can share. But anyway, I'll speak, and when you get the book, you can follow. The book, this verse is on the first page. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti krishna. What does anyabhilasita shunyam mean?
Desire.
Yes, free from material desires. What is material desire?
Any desire other than to serve.
Yeah. Any desire other than the desire to serve Krishna. Now sometimes we engage in devotional service and we're very careful not to desire anything besides Krishna's service. Even when we're sick, we don't pray to Krishna to make us well, because we know that we should not pray to Krishna for anything material or anything else besides Krishna's service. But sometimes some bad person may come with a gun or a knife to kill us. And we will immediately pray to Krishna and chant Krishna's name to save us. So is this against bhakti? Is this outside the definition of anyabhilasita shunya?
Not necessarily. If we want to be able to use our body to serve Krishna and not have damage so it can't serve Krishna.
But can you serve Krishna without the body?
If you go back to God.
Body belongs to Krishna.
That's all right. Body belongs to Krishna. But
one of the six symptoms of surrender is to see Krishna as one's only protector. So if one turns to Krishna for protection.
Yes, that's a good answer. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed the word anyabhilasita. And he says that in normal circumstances, we should not pray for anything except devotional service. Generally, although the body can be a facility for service, generally we don't pray to the Lord for facilities, because we can serve the Lord with or without the facilities. If the facility is provided by the Lord, we can accept it and use it in the Lord's service. But if we think that if we get $1 million we can do so much more service for Krishna. But will we pray to Krishna for $1 million? No. So similarly, anyway, what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is that in ordinary circumstances we should not pray to the Lord for anything material. But in extreme circumstances, when one is threatened with death, then one may pray to the Lord. And that doesn't violate the basic principle of Uttama Bhakti. Of course, what the other devotees said is also true, that if we see the body as Krishna's property, as something that can be used for Krishna, and if we see Krishna as our only protector, then those are also elements of Krishna consciousness.
Why would it necessarily be, without, say, taking into consideration the points that we brought up, that under these extreme circumstances it wouldn't violate principles of worship?
Well, he has analyzed the word anyavilasita as opposed to the word anyavilas. And the suffix which makes the complete word anyavilasita means that one should not be habituated to praying for anything material or desiring anything material, even if it's in other words, one's basic motive should be to serve Krishna. One should not come to devotional service with any other motive. But due to, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, due to some false identification with the body, at the moment of crisis, we may pray to the Lord for protection. But such misidentification with the body will be purified by the process of devotional service in due course. It doesn't mean that one is disqualified from rendering pure devotional service. As long as under ordinary conditions, he's not impelled by any other motive than service. Still he can reach the goal, in other words. But if he's not engaged in pure devotional service, if he has other motives besides Krishna's service, even under normal circumstances, he wants bhakti or something else, then he's not eligible for pure devotional service and he can't reach the goal. Of course, someone who is engaged in mixed devotional service can also come to the platform of pure devotional service by good association and good instructions. So we engage in many activities, just like worshipping the deity is activity. But that won't cover devotional service. What covers devotional service is fruitive activity. So worshipping the deity obviously is not against the principles of bhakti. Similarly, jnana refers to speculative knowledge, because we are also trying to understand sambandha jnana. Or when we do understand sambandha jnana, then we can enter very nicely in devotional service. So here jnana means such type of jnana as will cover bhakti, like impersonal speculation. Anukulyena means Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam. Anushilanam means cultivation or continuous activity in relation to Krishna, which is favorable to Krishna's pleasure. And how do we know what is Krishna's pleasure or what will please Krishna?
Through the spiritual master.
Through the spiritual master, yes. And?
Scriptures.
But sometimes the scriptures give different instructions in different places. And the scriptures are not contradicting themselves. But one instruction will apply in one situation and another will apply in another. Just like Krishna says, Parichanaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavam yuge yuge. That I come to reestablish the principles of dharma. And at the end of the Gita, he says, sarva dharman paritya jamam mekam sarvam braja. You should leave aside all dharmas and just surrender to me. So the two instructions appear contradictory. In one place he says that he comes to establish dharma. In another place he says that you should reject dharma. But according to time, place, and circumstance, and candidate, one instruction will apply. And in another situation, another instruction will apply. And Lord Chaitanya also discusses this in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami. When one is eligible to give up following the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma, it's not that everyone can just suddenly or whimsically give up dharma. One has to have some qualification for sarva dharma and pratityaja mamekam saranam vraja. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur raises another question. That when Mother Yashoda was feeding baby Krishna with her breast milk, some of the milk that was on the fire began to overflow the pot. Then Mother Yashoda set aside baby Krishna to tend to the milk on the fire. And baby Krishna became very upset, very angry, and very frustrated because he didn't get enough milk. He wasn't satisfied. So the question is that pure devotional service should be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. But here we find that Krishna was not pleased when Yashoda set him aside. Rather, he was angry. So is this pure devotional service to give more importance to the milk than to Krishna? She thought the milk was more important than Krishna. So, did she go against the principles of bhakti?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
Well, because the milk is for Krishna's satisfaction. And the worship or the tending of that milk is even more important than, in that case, satisfying Krishna, because it's for Krishna's ultimate satisfaction.
Yes, the milk is Krishna's paraphernalia. And service to Krishna's paraphernalia is included in the category of service to Krishna. Here, Krishna means not only Krishna, but the expansions of Krishna, the paraphernalia of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna. And the service of the devotees of Krishna, or the paraphernalia of Krishna, may be more befitting than the service of Krishna directly. Just like when Lord Chaitanya refused to meet Maharaj Pratapudra because he was a king and was supposed to be involved with women and money. So the devotees arranged to send Lord Chaitanya's cloth to King Pratapudra. And King Pratapudra began to worship the cloth. And when Lord Chaitanya heard, he was satisfied. Because the cloth of Lord Chaitanya was considered not different from Lord Chaitanya. And he quoted the verse, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasma Paratara Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the highest. But even higher than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of things related to Vishnu.
In that particular pastime, Krishna, at least immediately, Krishna was not pleased there. Now, of course, we may well assume that he became pleased as time went on, but according to the definition of Anyavirashita Shunyam, Krishna has to desire, Krishna has to be pleased.
Very good point. He says that Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam means it should be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. But here Krishna was not pleased. And another example also comes that Kamsa and other demons who were inimical to Krishna pleased Krishna by fighting with him. They actually helped him in his pastimes by fighting with him. So was there activity bhakti, because Krishna was pleased.
All Krishna's pastimes are under his yoga maya or lila shakti, so everything that is done is ultimately for Krishna's pleasure, whether he's killing Kamsa, whether Adi Yasoda is putting him down to take care of him. Everything is arranged by Krishna's own
energy
equation,
all pleasure. So there's no difference between Mother Yasoda and Kamsa?
Huh? There's a difference.
There's a difference. What is the difference?
Well, the difference is that Kamsa was not desiring to please Krishna.
That's it. Kamsa was not desiring, his attitude was not favorable to Krishna's pleasure. Although by his activities Krishna was pleased. And Yashoda was favorable to Krishna's pleasure, but Krishna was not pleased. But here there's another point, which is that the milk is also a devotee. The milk is also conscious. So the milk was thinking that if Krishna gets satisfied drinking the milk from Yashoda's breast, then I won't get the chance to do any service for Krishna. So the milk was thinking that somehow or other I also want to serve Krishna. So the milk deliberately boiled over the pot. So Yashoda would leave Krishna and the milk would also get the chance to do some service. So this is the platform of Leela. And when we come to the last chapter, 23, about Prayojan, we will find that after Prema, see, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu goes up to Prema, begins with Shraddha and goes up to Prema. But actually there are developments beyond Prema. If one achieves Prema, he can get Shantaras. But beyond Prema is Sneha. And if one gets Sneha, he can have Dasya Ras. Then above Sneha, there's Man. Now, man is translated as the anger of love. So, the special feature of man is that there appears to be anger, or there appears to be jealousy, but inwardly there's ecstasy. So sometimes Krishna does things and Radharani becomes angry. Or sometimes Radharani or Yasoda will do something and Krishna will become angry. This is only apparently displeasure. But actually it is ecstasy. But on our level of sadhana bhakti, we cannot imitate the devotees who have gone more than prema, who are in relationships with Krishna more than neutral relationship and more than servant relationship, who are playing with Krishna like equals or superiors. But still, we have to know that generally for us, our effort should be to please Krishna. In other words, our attitude should be favorable, and the result should also be to pleasing to Krishna. And if we follow the instructions of the spiritual master and the scriptures, then Krishna will be pleased. And if we just have the desire to please Krishna, but we don't follow the instructions of scripture, then we may just create a disturbance. And that's also stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That if one performs devotional service without reference to the instructions of the revealed scriptures, then the result will be just a disturbance. Just like Sahajiyas, their attitude may be that they want to please Krishna, but their activities will not please Krishna because they're not serving according to parampara. So this is very important for us, that we should desire to please Krishna, and desiring to please Krishna, follow sadhu, shastra, and guru, and then actually please Krishna.
So is this level of mana a division of prema, or is this just something beyond prema?
It's like ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, tata, bhajana, kriya. All of these things are further developments of shraddha. But still, we can distinguish between, say, ruchi and simple shraddha, which exists in the beginning. So, sneha, man, rag, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav, they're further developments of prema. But they can be distinguished from simple prema also. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has gone only up to prema in discussion. But then he wrote another book called Ujjvala Nilamani, in which he discusses all the way to Mahabhava, which is only in Madhurya Rasa. And Srila Prabhupada has given everything. In Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has given everything and Srila Prabhupada has explained everything. So there's something more than Mahabhava. So this course is from before Shraddha to after Prema. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Śrī Caitanya Caitamrita ki Nitai Gaura Prema Nanda ki.